Good morning. I would like to welcome you to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you are visiting with us this morning, I want you to consider that you are indeed our honored guest, and we are truly, truly happy to have you visiting with us this morning. We want you to know that our doors swing on welcome hinges, and anytime that you are in the area and you want to come and worship here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, know that you're always welcome. Today is a special day, and no, it's not because my mom is here. It's a special day because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. This morning, I want to talk to you about, are you ready to fight Goliath? Are you ready to fight Goliath? We'll be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17. So if you have your Bibles or electronic devices with you or phones, that is 1 Samuel chapter 17. And as you turn there, I'd like to share something with you before I get into the lesson this morning. There was a older gentleman who just retired and bought him a Corvette. And so he dropped the top on the Corvette. He decided to hit the highway and he is driving. Then all of a sudden, he spots a state trooper, and he just floors it. He's driving fast, and then finally, the state trooper pulls him over, and he gets to the car, and he says, "Sir, I mean, did you not see me? You just started to drive faster and faster." He says, "Listen, I really don't have time for games. This is the end of my shift. I'm ready to get out of here and go home. If you can give me a good reason why you were driving that fast, I'll let you go home." He says, "Okay." He says, "When I saw you, I began to panic. Years back, my wife left me for a state trooper. And when you turned on the lights and got behind me, I thought you were bringing her back." So I hope that your minds are ready to go and we can dive into the Word of God. Probably one of the most familiar stories in the Bible is the one of David and Goliath. It's a story of a shepherd's bravery and trust in God. It is a story about a young man who not only had faith, who not only had trust, but he was also prepared. He was prepared. So here's the battle scene. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Looking at verse 1-3. "Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Sakho in Judah. They pitched camped at Ephs Damin between Saka and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Alahand. They drew up their battle line and they met the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them." So I want you to envision this in your mind. You have two large mountains with a large valley running in between them. All right. And on one of the mountains, you have the Israelites. And on the other side of the mountain, you have the Philistines. All right. Goliath's description and his challenge. I want you to look at this, okay? In 1 Samuel chapter 17, looking at verses 4-11. "Goliath, a champion named Goliath, was from Gath. He came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel." And this is what he said in verse 8. "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistines said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all of the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. After hearing this giant speak, they became afraid. They became dismayed. They became terrified. The first thing that comes to mind to me when I think about this is, what do you do when you are faced with a giant? When you are faced with the giant of sin, when you're faced with the giant of not lying, of not cheating, facing the giant of overcoming all types of obstacles that you have in your life, do you become dismayed and terrified? Or will you be able to stand and be ready to fight and face the giant? Now, while the Israelites and Philistines were sizing each other up, while they were trying to figure out how we were going to tackle this thing, the champion warrior came out of the camp. And again, I want you to think about this. His name is Goliath. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just saying, if there was a fight and you were a boxer and your name was Christopher Sanders in this corner and he's up to fight Goliath, this may start to feel a little shaky, right? So I want you to think about this. In 1 Samuel 17, going through starting with verse 5 through 7, he had a bronze helmet on his head. He wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. Six on his legs, he wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin. He slung it on his back. He had a spear shaft that was big. It weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him, right? I want you to think about this. When you're getting ready to go to battle, and I'm thinking about Goliath, and I'm thinking about what they're faced with, I think in terms of Johnny. Think about Johnny fighting Roman. Think about it. You got Johnny and you got Roman. That's us. The giants we face, if you want to make a visual picture, they are big like Johnny. And we're small like Roman. And yet, if we have the faith and trust in God, and we are prepared, it does not matter how big the giant is. It doesn't matter what he's equipped with. It doesn't matter what he knows and how smart he is and how crafty he is. If you trust in God and you are prepared and you are ready to fight and face that giant, you will be victorious. Goliath was covered with the best armor of his day. It weighed a whopping 148 pounds. Goliath had a shield which was carried by one of the Philistines. He had a spear that weighed 17 pounds. But here's the challenge. Goliath and all his fierceness stood before the Israelites, taunting them. He made a mistake right through there when he began to taunt. Goliath wanted them to send out their best. You send out your best, because I can guarantee you, whatever you got, whoever you have, cannot compare to what I'm going to do to him. And then when the Israelites heard this, they showed themselves to be cowards. They tucked their tails and ran. How many times have we done that? How many times when you were facing a giant, you tucked your tail? How many times did you bury your face in the sand? How many times did you retract your statement when you said, I'm willing to stand for God? I'm willing to stand for Christ. I'm willing to do what is right. Even in a face when no one is watching, I'm going to do what is right. How many times have we done that? They were doing this. But let me tell you something. David arrives on the scene. And David hears about all of this. David, the youngest son of Jesse, went to the camp. And he was coming to the camp to bring food. Can you imagine? We get ready to have a battle, and Johnny is out there, and we're all the size of Roman. And then here comes somebody about Addison size with some food saying, "Hey, guys, here's the food." And then he hears something. He greets his brother. Goliath comes forth and he taunts the Israelites. And he had been doing it for 40 days. 40 days taunting them. How long have you been fighting your giant? How long have you been going back and forth with that giant in your life? How long have you been dealing with the same sin? How long have you been dealing with the same obstacles in your life over and over again for 40 days? And they trembled in fear. But then David says something. Let's look at verse 26 in chapter 17. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel?" David took it personal. It's like, what's going to happen? What happens when somebody gets rid of this foolishness? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this Philistine that comes in here that will defy the armies of the living God? See, he wasn't concerned about the army itself. He was talking about the army of God. Who will come in and defy God's people? Who is this that will speak and blaspheme against God and his people? He said, "I got a problem with that." So the people tell David that Saul offered up his daughter in marriage and wealth to anybody who could defeat Goliath. David volunteers to fight Goliath in chapters 17 and 31 through 37. And then David says, "Let no man's courage fail. I'll fight him." He said, "I'll fight him. I'll face that giant. I'm ready to do it." Let's look at 1 Samuel 17:36. And 37. He says, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." He says, "I will not forget what my God has done for me. When I was going through tough times, I will not forget how he saved me, how he had grace for me, how he allowed me to get through it. I will not forget that. When I had to face that lion, he was there. When I had to hear that roar, I faced that lion. When I had to deal with the bear, I faced that bear." And we all deal with lines of sin in our life and bears and sins of our lives. And he was willing to fight this Philistine because he felt and he knew that God was with him. Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." He said it to him like he wasn't already with him. He said it to him like he needed a reminder. "Here I am, I'm just bringing you the food, and all y'all been going back and forth for 40 days being afraid, right, to put your trust in God. We are the armies of God, and you don't have the trust and the faith to follow and trust God." David seems to be in anger. He says that Goliath will end up like the lion and the bear. He told him, your fate is exactly like the lion and the bear. Why? Because he said that he defied the armies of the living God. Now, what kind of attitude is that? When you think about that, what kind of attitude do you have when you're standing there and no one else wants to do it? No one else has the courage to stand and face the giant. No one has the faith to trust that God will see them through this battle. That was a kingly attitude. That is an attitude of leadership. When you say, "Well, no one else will, I will. When no one else will stand, I will stand. When no one else is willing to evangelize, I will. When no one else is willing to pray for a person, I will. When someone else is not willing to go out and visit the sick, I will. When no one is willing to have a personal Bible study with that brother or sister that has fallen away, I will. And I'm not afraid." That's the attitude we ought to have. A kingly attitude. An attitude of leadership. Now, David is getting armed for the fight. Let's look at 1 Samuel 17, 38 through 40. It says, "Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around, but he was not used to them. He says, I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. He says, listen, I don't know about all the modernized things that you all coming up with. I don't know about all these things. I can't wear this. I'm not equipped to do this. But what I am equipped to do is trust God. All I need is my staff. All I need is these 5 smooth stones, and I'm ready for battle. Most people will look at you and say, man, are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Are you saying you're going to go out there with a staff and 5 smooth stones and your little shepherd bag and fight this giant? Saul puts his best armor on David, but David said, I'm not accustomed to this armor. I'm going to remove it. And instead of the armor, he took that staff, that slingshot, and he went to that brook, and he was ready to battle. So David goes to meet Goliath. And looking at verse 43, he says, and he said to David, I am a dog that you come at me with sticks? He's taunting him. Were you going to run me off like you do a dog or something or some little animal? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. He says, come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. And David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty God. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you stood and looked that giant in the face and said those very words? You can give me all you got. You can come with all the things, all the sayings, all the bad things that you can say about me. You cannot be my friend. You can talk down about what I believe. You can talk bad about the church, the preacher, and all the things that we're trying to do when it pertains to being kingdom minded and growing God's kingdom. And I'm not worried about how you come, because I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty God and the armies of Israel whom you defy. And then he goes on to say that this day the Lord, in 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Let me tell you something. The moment that you stand for God when it matters the most, the point is that God gets the glory. Every single time you overcome sin, you gain the anointing. And do you know what that anointing is? It is the ability to speak into others' lives based on how you've lived yours, trusting God. That's how powerful that is. That because I was willing to stand and people see it, and I didn't waver, I didn't move to the left or to the right, I was standing firm in the faith. It is able for the world to see the faith, and God gets the glory. And all those gathered here in verse 47 will know that that is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. I'm sure Goliath thought he was crazy. I'm sure he was laughing and saying, you saying all of this? And you don't know how many people I've killed. You don't know how many battles I've been in. It's kind of like, I know for some of you all that looked at the Avengers and all of that, it was kind of like, you know, Goliath was Thanos. And he was wiping everybody out. And everybody was afraid. And yet there was one person out of all the people who were afraid that was willing to stand. And that was David. Now notice David's reaction. In 1 Samuel, beginning at 48, it says, and the Philistine moved closer to attack David. David didn't jog, he didn't skip, he didn't backpedal, he didn't freeze. It says that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. That's how much trust, that's how much faith that he had in God, that I wouldn't hold him back. I wouldn't drag in my feet. I ran to the fight. I was willing because I was prepared, and I am trusting God, and I'm ready to fight the giant. And so when he met him at the line, he reached into his bag, taking out a stone. And I could just see it. He slung it. he just, I mean, I could just see him. He put that stone in there and he just, and he let it go. And it hit right here in his forehead. And he fell face down to the ground. I mean, it sank into his forehead. And I don't know about you, but if I was a football player, I would need David on my team. Because I don't know what kind of arm he had. Or you could take a smooth rock and swing it, and it embeds in his head. But we all know that it was God. But so David saw him, and he fell face down to the ground. And David triumphed over the Philistines with a sling and a stone. Not a sword, not all the bells and whistles one feels he needs to go to battle. He took the Lord. David ran and stood over him, and he took hold of the Philistine's sword, and he drew it from the sheath, and after he killed him by cutting off his head. And when the Philistines saw that their hero, the one that they put their trust in, the one that they looked to save them, they turned and they ran. What do you think that says about the moment that you're able to face those giants in your life? And you do it with God, trusting him. They'll turn. They'll remove from you. They'll go. If you rebuke it, you stay away from it. You'll flee. The devil will flee. But you have to be willing to stand and not be afraid. They turned and ran. And then the men of Israel and Judah surged forth with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along, and they were all in the road. And when the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp, and they took the Philistines' head and brought it into Jerusalem. And the Philistines' weapons, and he put it in his tent. They walked around with that head. And let me tell you something, it just wasn't that day. I want y'all to understand this. He didn't walk around with that head for a day or two. He walked around with that head for weeks. So that you know who my God is. My God did this. Imagine him just getting him something to eat, just eating a sandwich, kick his feet up and throw the head on the table. This is my God. Can you imagine that? How powerful it is? What kind of message that sends? That this is what my God is capable of. And when you go against my God, this is the end result. That's the attitude we ought to have when we're faced with obstacles and sin in our life. This is the God that I face. This is the God that I serve. I'm prepared and I'm ready. And I'm ready to face and fight you. David was victorious. David fought for the Lord. David seen how all of Israel was afraid. But David knew it was up to him. He figured it out. He said, nobody else was going to do this. I will do this. And Goliath had defied the armies of God. And David said, you got to go. Not my God. No, you won't blaspheme about my God. You won't make fun of light of my God. You won't taunt my people and God's people. And the cool thing that I like, man, he ran to that fight. How often are we running to the fight for the good fight of faith? Are we running? Are we backpedaling? Are we scared? All fighting for the Lord, trust me, was not always physical. And it doesn't necessarily mean we got to get physical. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the spiritual warfare that we're in right now. In Genesis chapter 6, in Genesis 6 and 7, Noah fought for the Lord, even though his family were the only righteous people left on the earth. He did it. Abraham was willing to do whatever that was required of him without question. John the Baptizer literally lost his head for the sake of Christ, for standing for the truth. Paul fought for the Lord to the point that he was stoned and left for dead. What are you willing to do? Will you run? Will you hide? Will you tuck your tail? Or will you stand and be ready and trust God and be ready to fight Goliath? Listen, we need to fight for the Lord, just like the men of old. We ought to be willing to sacrifice any and everything for God. He gave himself. Can we truly give him, give back and repay that? The best thing that we can do is live for him because he died for you. and for me. My daddy brought me a ring and it says that I live for him because he died for me. That's the attitude that we ought to have. And I want you to understand in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, we ought to fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life which we were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We can't forget that. When you profess that I believe this, you can't forget that. When you say that I love him, you can't forget that. Oh, I'll give him and I'll do. You cannot forget that. It was said very beautifully and put very plainly and beautifully this morning at the table. Sometimes we get things twisted to fit what we think that it is and what we need. But ultimately, it's about God. Ultimately, it's about remembering how good God is and not becoming weary. The early Christians were great men and women. They had the faith that was needed because they did it during persecution and hardship when it was really, really hard. I mean, they were stoned. They were tortured. They were hanged. They were burned. They went through all of these things and they suffered for the cause of God. And you know what's even different? And what makes it so much more amazing? They didn't even have the promise. Think about that. They didn't even have the promise. But you do. I do. And we act like that God doesn't keep his promises. These men and women gave their lives without a promise. But we have that promise. If we're found faithful, if we're doing what is just, what is true, what is right, if we're doing what is honorable in the eyesight of God, the promise is that we can receive the wonderful abode of heaven. It's a wonderful promise. A fight that you don't even have to fight. It's a fixed fight. And yet men and women were willing to do this. Are you still willing to fight for God? David put his trust in the Lord. David had trusted the Lord before and he was not let down. What makes you think he'll let you down? He's never let you down. He's never let you down. He may not have came when you wanted him to. He might have given you what you thought that you deserved, but he has never let you down. As a matter of fact, I'll say it this way. He doesn't have to do anything else for you ever again in my book because he's done enough already. When he gave his life on Calvary, that's all he needed to do. And all he's asking us to do is to be ready and to trust him and be faithful. If you think about it, it's not hard what God is asking. We make it harder than what it is. We create giants sometimes, I believe, in our lives that weren't even there at first. We make things bigger than what it is. But who's bigger than God? Why do we put limitations on God? We limit God all the time about what he can and can't do. And he's proven to us time and time again his power, his might. In James chapter 1, and in verse 2 and 4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. Do you trust what this verse says? Do you truly believe what this says? And if the answer is yes, then we need to truly start acting like it. We truly need to. We need to trust God over man. We need to just start trusting God over man. In closing, this is the attitude that we need. When David went to battle, he went to battle prepared. He didn't go unprepared. He didn't go afraid. He didn't go second guessing. In Psalms chapter 17, it says, my shield is God's Most High, who saves the upright in heart. We need that attitude. We know that David trusted God, but we still see David collecting 5 stones instead of 1. Let me tell you something. He wanted to make sure he was prepared. He didn't go with 1 stone. He went with 5 because if 1 didn't work, I got 4 more. That's prepared. Being prepared means I'm reading and I'm studying and I'm trying to be more familiar with the Word of God so that I am ready to give an answer when one asks. I'm prepared to talk to somebody. I'm prepared to refute false doctrine. I'm prepared to invite someone to Christ and teach them the gospel. We are in battle today. And we got to be prepared, saints. I know that we see a lot. I'm telling you, it's a lot that's going on. There's another mass shooting that just happened. It's so prevalent, and it happens so often that I think that we just become dull. It's not a shock anymore. It's just, well, there's another mass shooting. Oh, there's another. This is the time where we live in, where people are looking at good as evil. The Word of God says it, and looking at bad as good. That's the time we live in. The moment you say, oh, you aren't supposed to do that. Oh, you can't tell me what to do. Who are you? But the moment that you are supporting wrong acts, it's all right. Are you okay with me? That's the time that we're living in. I'll leave you with this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Are you ready to fight Goliath today? Are you ready to face your giants today? The Goliaths of sin, the Goliaths of false doctrine, the Goliaths of apathy, the Goliaths of a zestless blah of faith, the Goliath of all the things that are contrary to the will of God. And the question is, will you be victorious like David? The answer is yes, if you put your faith and your trust in God and you're obedient to him and prepared. You can face Goliath and any other giant that you can think of. So if you're here this morning and you have been going through the ringer with getting over and facing your giants, I want to encourage you to come. If you've fallen away, you need the prayers of the church, whatever that need may be, I'm here with you. I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you, whatever you need. And if you're here this morning and maybe your Goliath is, I haven't yet been baptized into Christ. And maybe you're waiting for that special moment yourself that everything is going to be right. But I want to piggyback on what he said. If you were able to do everything right, what did Christ come for? If you were able to be perfect, if you were able to be as righteous, why did Christ come? So it ought to be an encouragement that we do need him. And we can lean on him. And if your Goliath is being afraid to go down in a water grave of baptism, let me tell you, you're making a mistake. God welcomes you. And it's not as hard as you may think it is. Yeah, you're going to have to give up some things, but you gain so much more. So if you're here this morning and you are subject to the invitation and you are serious about getting into the fight and facing Goliath and your giants, please come now together. We stand and sing.